Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, we lift you up. We exalt you. We lift up the name of Yeshua in this place today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are awesome. You are faithful. You are so good to us. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. We're glad you're here. And I have a message I believe the Lord has put on my heart today. It's kind of continuing the theme of the kingdom. We're going to go a little deeper into the kingdom. And we're going to talk about asking and receiving. Last time I spoke to you about the gospel of the kingdom, I told you that there's so much more to being in the kingdom than getting fire insurance papers. Salvation and healing are just the beginning. But many are not even walking in these two things as intended. If you need healing today, I speak the healing word to you. Yeshua came that we might be healed. He took those stripes and shed that blood to wash away our sins and to heal us. And in the kingdom, there shouldn't be any sickness. Because there's not in the kingdom of heaven. There's not. So we just speak healing to you right now in the name of Yeshua. But people are not walking in even salvation and healing like God intended. We are fighting different sicknesses. And that's why we speak healing today. Enter in to the kingdom and receive your healing. Many are acting like the world. They're using curse words, engaging in sex outside of marriage, watching things on TV that defile us, or listening to ungodly music. I even heard that a pastor claimed that if a Christian sings a song, then it becomes a Christian song. Doesn't matter who created the song, what their motivation was, what the words in the song are. There are many ungodly bands out there creating ungodly music. And just because you're a Christian and you sing that song doesn't make it a Christian song. In fact, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't even be listening to it, let alone singing it. It grieves me to see so many of my so-called brothers and sisters are in such error and fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. The Bible is clear about what constitutes the works of the flesh and that those who are engaged in them do not enter the kingdom. Today, I will be reading scriptures from the NIV version of the Bible. And the first one I want to share is Galatians 5, 19 through 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here we see clearly that those who engage in these types of acts of the flesh, and I don't believe this is just a complete list here. I think there are some others you can add in there. These are the ones that were listed. So check yourself. Are you engaging in any of these? You may not be in sexual immorality. You may not even be in idolatry or witchcraft that you're aware of. But anything you put above God becomes an idol to you. But how about hatred? Are you hating anyone? Are you having discord? What's discord? Not getting along. Is there anybody you're not getting along with? Especially in the church? That's an act of the flesh. Are you jealous of anyone? Act of the flesh. Do you have fits of rage, temper tantrums, or get angry without cause? Or people get on your nerves and you get angry too quickly? Act of the flesh. There could be a whole lesson on anger. So we'll just go on. Selfish ambition. Are you ambitious for your own selfish gain? You trying to chase after that almighty dollar? Get rich? Dissensions and factions and envy. I mean, just think about it. Do you get drunk? A lot of people in the church who call themselves Christians drink alcohol and they get drunk. Drunkenness is an act of the flesh. I'm not talking about having a glass of wine with dinner. We all know Jesus turned the water into wine, and it's okay to have a glass of wine with dinner if that's your thing. But do you get drunk? Do you have parties and just drink and get drunk? That's an act of the flesh. If you're going to live like that, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. And people who are engaging in these things, you will find they are often sick. So maybe that's, you got to check yourself, not judging here, but if you're engaging these things, maybe that's an open door to sickness. Romans 8, 5 through 8 tell us that those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Wow. This is pretty strong language here. You notice that it says that those who are governed by the flesh are hostile to God. You can't even submit to God's law. No wonder so many people are saying that there is no law. I'm not under the law. They say, I'm working out my own salvation, meaning they feel like they can do whatever they want. They have no law. But in the Bible, those are called lawless ones. And lawless ones will not enter the kingdom. In the kingdom, we obey our Lord and Savior, Yeshua. He is our sovereign Lord. When we love Him with all our hearts, mind, and strength, and are walking in obedience, we can ask what we will, and we have it. Notice here that I said obey. If there's no law, what are you obeying? You're obeying the commands of the Lord. Commands of the Lord means the law. Yes, I've talked about this before. The Ten Commandments are still valid today. And then there's other things He will tell you. And if you're walking in that place of obedience, you have no fear. And you can ask Him for whatever you want. And you'll get it. Matthew 21, 22 tells us, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And Mark 11, 23 through 25 tells us, truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Yes, we all sin. We all miss the mark. We all need to repent. Every day we miss the mark in some way. Even me. I like to end my day with a prayer of repentance before I fall asleep. Because we want to make sure that we are ready when the Lord comes. We don't know exactly when he'll come, but we've been told for many years that soon he will return. And we want to be ready. We don't want anything standing between us and the Lord. But it's not just about that. It's about when you love someone, you don't want to be in discord with them. We don't want to have anything between those and the ones we love that will cause a rift in our relationship. If you're married, you know how that is. If you get in an argument with your spouse, and then you're like, it doesn't feel good. And then you want to make up as soon as possible. And sometimes it takes a little while, but eventually you will, because you love them and you don't want to be angry with them. And being at odds with someone is a cause for breaking down of a relationship. And we don't want our relationship with our spouses or our relationship with God to be broken down and destroyed. Amen. So we forgive them and we don't do anything that will hurt them or cause that disruption in our relationship. In James 1:6, it says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. James 4:1-10 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Think about it. When you do get in a fight with your spouse or anyone else, what are you fighting about? You are fighting for your own way. You want something and they're not willing to give it. So you're fighting. You're fighting for your own way. Your desires are battling within you and they come out in argument. But if you both choose to desire what God wants and you seek God's will, then you'll have more peace. And when you're fighting, you're not going to ask them for anything because you're not going to think that they're going to give it to you. For real. Parents and children. Like if you're having an argument with your parents, that's really not the time to ask them for a favor or permission to go to a party or a special blessing, because they're mad at you. They're going to say no, right? And that's how you're going to feel with God, that if you are quarreling and fighting and doing things that's contrary to God's will and way, how are you going to ask in confidence that God's going to answer your prayer? You're not. You're going to say, well, God's not going to give me this because I'm not deserving. Let's go on with James 4:1-10. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Wow, that's a powerful statement right there. Are you friends with the world? Are you liking that computer game, that ungodly computer game too much? You liking your TV too much? Are you liking partying and drinking and having a good time with your friends too much? Listening to worldly music? Yes, you got to think about this. Because if you choose to be a friend of the world, then you're going to become an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That's why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Wow. Think about it. What are you doing that's grieving the Holy Spirit within you? Be willing to give it up. Amen. Be willing. Don't be proud. Don't be one of those who says, well, you work out your salvation and I'll work out mine. What works for me may not work for you, but what works for you doesn't work for me. I'm going to do my things my way. That's pride. But God shows favor to the humble. Be willing to listen, learn, and obey. Amen. Remember the story about the prodigal son when the elder son complained about never getting a party? He said, my son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. When we are a kingdom citizen, then everything the Lord has is ours. When we sin, we forget who we are and what we have. Amen. James 1:23-24 says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Here we had to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And we can't twist the word to mean something it does not mean. People take things out of context and make a doctrine out of something or a belief system out of something like that, work out your salvation, which it's not even talking about. You can do what you want and I can do what I want. It's about getting the salvation that God has placed in you through rebirth out so that people can see it. It's working that salvation out of the inside to the outside for everyone to see and give glory to your God, right? We're here to glorify our God, right? That's what we're here to do. And if we are sick, if we are doing things that the world does, drinking and cursing and having sex when we shouldn't, and just acting like the world, how is that going to bring glory to God? How are people going to know that you are born again if you are just acting like them? Your salvation must make a difference in your life. You must look different and act different and be different. A kingdom citizen does not party with the world. When we do not know or we do not remember who we are and what we have, we do not ask in confidence, or we ask with the wrong motives. Then we do not receive. The key to asking and receiving is first to be a kingdom citizen. And once we are a kingdom citizen, we live according to the kingdom ways. Then we have confidence when we ask, and then we will receive. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So it must be according to God's will. Do you think God's will is that, young man, you have that woman, that you get to have sex with her? Is it so that you could go to a party and drink and listen to ungodly music? Music that was written to honor the devil? You think that's God's will? It's like a child asking a parent if they could go to a party that the friends are having. If you're a good parent and you want what's best for your child, you're going to find out, what's that party all about? What's going to be going on at that party? Is the parents of the host going to be there? Are they going to have alcohol, drugs? Are they going to be sneaking off into a bedroom to have sex? What's going on in that party? Good things or bad things? I say that if you're a good parent and you find out that kind of stuff is going on at that party, you will say no to your child. No, because it's not for their best interests. You want to protect them. And that's the confidence we have in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us because He wants what's best for us. And if we're asking things that's not according to His will, that's not for our best interest, He'll say no. So our confidence isn't asking according to His will. And His will in some ways is the same for everyone. And in some ways it'll be different. The commandments spell out the common ways. We are all to obey the commandments and keep ourselves from becoming entangled with the world. The will of God for each individual are in some areas of personal choices, like where we live, who to marry, where we work, day-to-day activities. These will be different for everyone. Ask the Lord these things, though. What job does He want? Young people, as you're planning on going to college, ask the Lord where you should go to college. Pick the college that God wants you to have. Sometimes God will not have you go to college. Maybe He'll have you go to trade school. You know, vocational colleges are big and they will prepare you to go into the job market a lot quicker. What is the career that He wants you to have? What's your destiny? Did He give you a purpose to be a plumber, electrician, an engineer, an architect, a doctor, a nurse, a teacher, or full-time ministry, pastor, or evangelist? What is God's will for you? That's what you got to ask. And your life choices should lead you down the path that God has set for you. And who you marry is very, very important. Make sure you marry the one that God has for you. And in your day-to-day activities even, God may tell you to do something for a neighbor. Make sure you do it. When you're out shopping and running errands, He may ask you to speak to someone. Do it. These are individual choices, individual commandments that God asks you to do something. And there's a reason. And God taught me many years ago when I was on a trip to Taiwan how to listen to the voice of the Lord and obey for my safety. Because there was a woman coming around the hotel where I was staying who was a prostitute. And her pimp had set her up to become my friend and try to lure me away so he could put me into sex slavery. And the Lord spoke to me and told me, go to my room. When I was sitting in the lobby reading a paper, He said, go to your room. Because that woman He knew was on the way and He was protecting me from her. So I went up to my room because God was protecting me from what the plan of the enemy was to these people. And so we have to listen. That was a personal commandment to me in that moment. On that day, if I hadn't obeyed, then I might have fallen into her trap. And I wouldn't be here to share the gospel of the kingdom with you today. What each of us will need for our personal destiny to be fulfilled will require us to ask for different things. And I'm not just talking about our daily needs, food, clothes, shelter. Matthew 6:32 says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. We may be going through a difficult time, but we have to trust the Lord and remember that He knows what you need. He will provide your daily needs. He'll provide your food. He'll provide your clothes. He'll provide your shelter if you trust in Him. Many people are trying to seek after those things for themselves, and often they will find them slipping away and they fall short. Then they don't have enough food. They don't have very many clothes. They don't have shelter. They'll become homeless because they're chasing after the wrong thing. The Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. then all these things will be added to you. So seek first the kingdom of God. And then you'll have plenty of food to eat and plenty of clothes to wear, and you'll have a place to live. That's guaranteed, because the Father is a good Father and He will take care of you. Trust in Him. So if you have to ask for your daily needs, maybe it's time you need to examine yourself. Make sure you're not opening the door for the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. Because he will. If you give him an open door, he'll come in. He'll take your food. He'll take your clothes. He'll take your shelter. Bad things will happen. Accidents, fires will burn your house down, or bad weather will destroy it. Not that every time something like this happens, it's you because you open the door to the devil. Sometimes God will allow things to happen to test your faith or to provide something better for you. Like I heard stories about a few years ago, like in 2018, a bad hurricane came through this area, Hurricane Michael, and a lot of people's homes were destroyed. But God provided for them new homes. So their old home that got destroyed was not in good repair, and they couldn't afford to repair it. But because it was destroyed, the hurricane, and the air insurance gave them a new home that was brand new, they had a better place to live. So God provided for them a better place through that apparent tragedy. So maybe God uses these things. He does work all things out for good for those who love God and called according to His purpose. So be one that loves God, because you are called. You are called according to His purpose. Walk in your purpose and trust in Him. And anything that bad happens, God will turn that situation around for good. That's a promise. Romans 8:28. That's my life promise. Many years ago, in a church that I went to up in Pennsylvania, an evangelist came. He said, find a promise in the Bible and let that be your anchor to the Lord, that anytime you go through anything that seems like a storm or a bad time, let that scripture anchor you to the Lord and keep you in Him, and keep your faith and your trust strong through that scripture, that promise. Make it yours. And I chose Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Since I love God and I'm called according to His purpose, I know all things, good and bad, will work out for my good and for the glory of God if I let Him use those things for good. That's the thing. You have to let it go. Give it to Him. Let Him take the pieces and create a beautiful mosaic. You know what a mosaic is? It's made of little pieces of broken glass or stone, and it's put together and a beautiful picture is created. Many of us have broken pieces in our lives. Give those broken pieces to the Lord and let Him create a beautiful mosaic. He can use you, and you can still be a kingdom citizen. You just got to let things go, repent, and obey. Be a kingdom citizen. Walk in the kingdom. Learn the kingdom ways. And He will take care of you. He has not failed me yet. And I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Just repent and trust in the Lord that Romans 8:28 is true. And He will take care of you. And all the other promises in the Bible, find your own personal promise and hold on to it. So there are ways that you can release the blessings that are yours as a kingdom citizen. First, forgive others. If you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you, as scripture said, right? So be willing to forgive others. Yes, people are going to fail you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to do you wrong. They're going to gossip about you. They're going to steal from you. They're going to be mean to you. It's the way things are. Forgive them. Because you've probably done that to other people. So repent. And repent makes a 180 turn. You turn and go the opposite direction. You stop doing that thing that the Lord doesn't want you to do that is considered sin. And sin is just missing the mark. So anything that misses the mark, anything that does not lead you into your destiny in Him, repent. Make a 180 turn. Go the opposite direction. Get off the bad path. Get onto God's path. And those things that He wants you to do, do them. Do them with your whole heart. And begin to thank Him for the things you have. An attitude of gratitude will open a door to more. Amen. So be thankful. Be a faithful steward of what you have. Don't waste time and resources. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. If you need counsel in financial stewardship or time management, let me know. Send me an email. My email is lotsoflovministries@yahoo.com. Send me an email and ask for, and I will help you learn how to be a good financial steward and manage your time wisely. Learn what the will of the Father is for you and ask according to His will. If He wants you to be a doctor, then ask Him, which school, which university should I go to? What kind of doctor? Should I specialize in one of the areas of expertise, like being an OBGYN or being a pediatrician? Or does He want you to be a pharmacist or anything, you know? Or does He want you to be a general practitioner? These are questions for you, specifically according to His will for you. If He wants you to be a teacher, what should you teach? What school should you go to? Which school should you teach at? These are specific questions. And then God will give you the answers. And believe it, He will. He said, your footsteps will be ordered by Him if you're a righteous one. So if you're a kingdom citizen, He will order your footsteps. He will lead you to the right school, to the right spouse, to the right job, to the right place to live. God led me to live where I live now. I was searching for a place, and this was on the list of possibilities, and God made it abundantly clear that this was the house I was to buy. This was the property that I was supposed to live out on and be a blessing to my neighbors here. So this was His will, and my will lined up with His will because I really wanted this place. It's 10 acres and a nice house, and I really like it. So I'm thankful to God that He led me to the place. I have good neighbors, and I have opportunities to bless my neighbors. Just this week was my neighbor across the street's birthday, and I was able to bake her a cake, which her and her guests loved. And so I was able to bless them. And I have neighbors up the street who I'm able to help. And so I'm thankful that God has led me to a place where I can live in peace and purpose. And isn't that what we all want? Peace and purpose. And so learn to ask what the will of the Father is for you and ask according to His will. And this will require you to spend some time with Yeshua in Bible study and prayer. Be sure to listen and obey. Be about the Father's business. When you take care of His business, He will take care of yours. Amen. Have faith and trust in His faithfulness. He is a faithful God. He is not a man that He should lie. If He says He will do something, then He will. It may take longer than you would like or happen in a way that is different than you imagined, but He will not fail you. He will keep His promise if you let it. If you let Him, yeah. Don't give up. Many people don't receive the answer to that prayer. They don't receive the promise because they quit. They quit and they give up just before it's about ready to get there. Don't be a quitter. Trust in Him. Even the fathers of the faith that in the Bible says they did not see the fulfillment of some of the things they prophesied, but they believed. And they believed until the day they died. And whether you receive something now, or you receive something later, or it's for your children or your grandchildren, the promises will come to pass. Have faith and believe them to your dying breath. And sometimes, even if you are losing a little bit of your faith and giving up a little bit, he will keep that promise just to show you how faithful he is. But let's choose to stay firm in our resolve to believe him, trust in him, and keep praying and thanking him. Lord, we know you are faithful. We need those finances in our bank account, and we know you're going to put them there. We thank you for what we have, and we know you're going to bless us with all that we need. Those are kind of prayers you want to pray. And trust him. And remember to be a faithful steward, right? Don't waste it. And don't eat your seed. There's a message just popped in my head. Don't eat your seed. What does that mean? Sometimes God gives you an extra amount in your paycheck because he wants to see what you're going to do with it. Are you going to eat that seed? Or are you going to sow it into the kingdom? Sometimes he gives you that little extra just so you could sow it into the kingdom. So if you get an unexpected financial blessing, ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Is this seed, or is this something to use to pay a bill that I have? Is it something that to bless someone else with? What do you want me to do with this amount of money? I wasn't expecting this extra paycheck or this raise in my paycheck. I wasn't expecting this refund from the IRS. I got an unexpected refund this year. What do you want me to do with it, Lord? And if you sow it as seed, he will multiply it. But if you eat it, it means you use it upon yourself for something you want. You go and spend it on that new TV you wanted, or even eating out for dinner. Oh, I wanted to go out and try this new restaurant. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to go out to eat. Well, you just ate your seed. So don't eat your seed. If God gave it to you so you can eat out at that restaurant and try it out because that was a desire of your heart and he's giving you a desire of your heart, he'll tell you, go eat that restaurant. Try it out. This is a desire of your heart that I want to bless you with. Thank you, Lord. You're awesome. Remember just to ask the Lord. Isaiah 40, 30 through 31 says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So put your hope in the Lord. Trust him. Ask according to his will, and you will receive in due time. If you're starting to grow tired and weary, if you're starting to stumble and fall, put your hope in the Lord and let your strength be renewed. Amen? You know, I have a kind of a joke from God to tell you. Once I was teaching young children, and I hadn't got the Sunday school book yet that I was supposed to be teaching from. So I was preparing a lesson, and I was thinking, how do you get to know someone? You usually ask some questions about what some of their favorites are. What's their favorite color? What's their favorite food? What's their favorite TV program? Different things. Where would they like to go on vacation? And I came up with this, what's your favorite season? Because my favorite season is fall. But I was thinking really hard and trying to find scripture to back up the answer to what God's favorite things were. And I was trying to figure out, what's God's favorite season? And then I heard the Lord say, you want to know what my favorite season is? I said, yes, Lord, what's your favorite season? He said, due season, because all things happen in due season. Is that cool? Yeah, God's favorite season is due season. So if you don't faint, if you don't give up, your due season will come, and all things happen in due season. Amen. So become a kingdom citizen. Walk in kingdom ways. Put your trust and hope in the Lord. Maintain an attitude of gratitude. Forgive others and repent often. Ask according to His will, and in due season you will receive. If you do this and rest in His promises and faithfulness, you will have shalom. Shalom means perfect peace, nothing missing, nothing lacking, and everything that has authority to bring chaos into your life will have its authority removed. Then you will be fruitful and advance the kingdom in your sphere of influence, bringing glory to our Lord and Savior. And that is everybody's purpose, to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Amen. Well, I hope you were blessed and encouraged by this message. May you have a kingdom week, prospering and multiplying and receiving every good gift from our Father in heaven. So until next week, shalom.